Welcome to the Quest of Fishing Adventures podcast, Chapter 4. Welcome back to another Quest Fishing Adventures podcast. I hope you're doing well, and if you've been fishing since the last podcast, let's hope you put few on the bank. Right, I'm talking really quietly because I'm just outside the front of my home, defrosting the car. Yes, it's all frozen, and as you can see by the title, I'm going carp fishing. Yeah, I knew it was going to be cold today. So this is going to be interesting. Obviously, you can see by the title, I'm going back to Ralph's Barn Lake 2. Going to go down there and see if we can get one out. My last few trips down there, like a few weeks back now, you know, I did really well. You know, I had that 30 out, ended with a 30. I just don't think it's going to be like that today. I am going to struggle. I mean, I'm going to, like, beeline it. I know I say I don't do that, but I am going to beeline it to the swim I had the other fish from, because it was definitely holding them, but it is really shallow there, and with this cold weather, I don't even think they're going to be there. And I guess there's a possibility the lake could be frozen if it's gone to minus temperatures. I don't know, we'll find out. So this podcast could end when I get there if it's frozen. I just thought of that. Duh. Oh well. So anyway, I'm going to stop talking. Going to get this vehicle defrosted, get my stuff in there, and then meet you guys down there. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Let's keep our fingers crossed that first of all the lake's not frozen, and secondly that I can put at least one carp on the bank. Well, I'm here, and I'm pleased to say the lake is not frozen. Temperature of the car said -2 when I left, but it's not frozen, which is good. Very much not frozen. So we need to find out if these carp are feeding. So I think the plan is to start off in this section where I had all them caught from last time a few weeks back. Shouldn't really be going off the back of that. But I want to start here. It's dark at the moment, so to be fair, I can't see much. Not much at all. So I'm going to start here. And if I do blank, I think I'm just going to have to move back down. Or move, not back down. Move down to the other end, because that the other end of the lake is definitely the deeper end of the lake. And what was I fishing over here? I can't remember how many feet it was. It wasn't very deep at all. But I kind of want to start here. I like this point. There's a lot of there's a few options on here. If I can't like catch fish on that spot, I actually can like move like further out and maybe fish the middle, where it is a little bit deeper. Last time I was here in front of me, like halfway out, there was a load of weed. I'm not saying that weed's still going to be here still, because the temperature over the last, well, since I've been here, it's like, you know, it's just been on the decrease anyway, so it has got a lot colder, so that might have even died by now and be gone. But I doubt it. I doubt it's all gone, if anything. But fish could be holding up in there as well, for a little bit of warmth. Yeah, so that's my thoughts. Start here, see what happens. Move if I need to. Keep an eye on the lake, see if I can see any signs of fish moving, or anything like that. And that's another thing about this point, going back to this point, because it sticks out in the lake. You can see, like, obviously in front of you, that little marginal to the left, but to the right of you as well, you can see the other top half of this body of the lake here as well, like, open, already about a quarter down. So you can see a lot of the water, so give you an idea. Not that you can see the other end of the lake, but hey-ho. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to end this section here. Get my stuff ready, keep everything crossed. Let's hope for another 30. Right, I've got both the rods out now. On the standard, which I've not, to be fair, deviated from too much really this half of the season, because it's doing the job. So basically, as usual, both of them. 18mm wafter, DNA bug, bushwhack it out, And I think this is, I've been doing a lot of thinking about this lately, and I think this is, I think, I'm not saying this is the way to catch carp, because everywhere you go to catch carp is different. Everything, it's just different, and there's not one way at all. But I really feel that one of the key parts to me catching as many carp that I've caught recently, and it's not been on just one water, and granted, when I have fished some of the harder waters, I've not caught, but I have caught on other waters. This is really, really muddly, but I kind of really do feel that the presentation that I'm putting out, which I'm going to talk about in a second, really does help contribute towards me catching more carp than I used to. So I'm not comparing to anyone else, I'm comparing to myself. And look, I've come on to fished a couple of new waters recently and done really well on them. And then, in those scenarios, I am comparing myself to other anglers on the lake and seeing and finding out what they caught on the day. And every time I have caught more than them. And that's not me being big-headed, that's me just judging and analysing my fishing on what I'm doing. And that's the conclusion I've come to, and that's not me being headed, and I'd hate for people to think I'm being big-headed, because I'm not being big-headed at all. I'm just trying to improve my fishing every time I go. I'm trying to figure out what I could have done better. Remember my saying of, when you walk away from a fishing trip, you should always question what you could have done different to put A fish on the bank, or B, more fish on the bank. I always think it's important that even when you catch, you have one of those red letter days, what could you have done different? Could you have put more fish on the bank? You know, those questions there. And yes, there is. I'm really deviating off a little bit here. So take, for example, this lake here, Rouse Barn 2. That the last session, or the second to last session I had, go back and listen to them podcasts. Basically, I had quite a few fish, and then I ended up moving the other rod. I finally found a spot that was catch fish in the other rod to catch more fish. And could I have moved that rod again, that second rod, the right hand side rod, to catch even more fish onto another spot? You know, so it's just things like, anything that you think may contribute more, what could I have done different? So going back to the bushwhacker first of all, which is one of the points I kind of really wanted to make, is I really feel that the crushed up crumb in there is one of the key factors. And these are just my thoughts. I think because when I'm able to put the bushwhacker out and push it out, and I'm able to crumb up at least about three what do you call it? The crummers, the crushers. Yeah, I've got one of the quarter crushers. Really, really rate the quarter crushers. I actually don't know if anyone else doesn't, but the quarter crushers are really rate. I'd put about 3 or 4 quarter crushers in, and obviously I put the boilie on top, as you guys know. So I'm putting that in there, but I really do think that's it really does help pull and hold the fish in. I think because, as you guys know, that I pre-prep my boilies. My boilies go into a bucket of a mixture of different sizes. I'm actually fishing bug and SLK together this season. There's another topic we could go onto at some point as well. Another factor, and then compare that to other brands, and then you know, I'm going off on one. Yeah. So basically, 3 or 4 crushes in of that, and I really think that because I've soaked it in. The liquids that I've put in there, the crumb goes down to the bottom. The crumb gradually does sink in, or when the fish come in and they're coming in and slurping up, it's moving the crumbs around a lot more easier because they're fine. And I really think because of that, it's like it moves into the silt, moves into the gravel, moves into whatever you're fishing on, and it helps pull the fish in, and the liquids, the attractants are on them. I do believe to a degree are then scenting the area. And as you guys know, I don't know that the true facts on it. It's only what I've listened to and read and seen and heard about, that carp can taste their taste. They've got more taste buds than us. They can taste more than we can. It's just like multiplied by whatever. I don't know, but I know it's more. Well, I don't know. I've heard it's more than us. So they can taste that in the water, which then helps them come back and then grub around. Because let's face it, when the crumb's going in, it's kind of like some of it's disappearing and hiding there and help holding the smell in. Whereas when a boilie's there, it's quite solid, it's big, it's solid. A carp will come in, it'll slurp it up, the boilies are gone, that's it, they're gone. Then the smell potentially goes, but with the crumb there, because it's distributing out and into maybe crannies and mixing in with the silt and stuff, I think that helps bring them back and pull them in and get grubbing down, and then gives them confidence. So say like maybe the smaller carp are coming, and because they're slurping around for a while and maybe not getting hooked yet because they've not picked up the hook bait, it will help, I believe, will help them pull another carp and give them confidence. Because a fish is not just coming in necessarily. I'm not obviously seeing this, but a fish is not coming in, slurping and swimming off. I think in some scenarios that the carp are coming in, slurping up all the crumb, or not all the crumb, some of the crumb, going, oh, I really like this. It's still there, the smell's still there, and then they're coming back, and then they're holding the area, which is then help pulling another carp. And I think that helps me put more fish on the bank. I think. There's my theory. I really hope that one makes sense, and I went around about the house with it, but I really do think there's some logic to that. Anyway, that. And my noodle hook link that I'm using at the moment, but that's another day. We'll talk about that in another section, because I've gone on too much about that. But yeah, I really do think that's a helping contributing factor. And if you guys think the same, or if you guys disagree, just message me in Instagram and tell me your thoughts on it. I'd love to hear, to be fair, because if you guys are doing something different and you feel like you've tried this and you've done that and it's helped put more fish on the bank for you, I'll be happy to try that to see if that makes a difference. But yeah. So let's leave that section there. But that's my thoughts on that, guys. Let's concentrate on catching fish. The time now is 7:35. Wow, time's gone quick. 7:35. Also, left-hand side rod and the right-hand side rod. Far left-hand side to me. One on a little post that's down there. And then one that's probably about 2.5 rod lengths off of that. That's where I was basically picking them up last time, which then goes into that big tree that comes out. Big tree, or maybe like two trees or something there, that come out into the water, I really do believe. And apparently there's a sunken barge there as well, like many moons ago. What state that's in now, who knows. But anyway, I think that's what helps hold them in there. So yeah, both rods are in there. Let's see how we get on. It's cold. Let's make a coffee too. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys in a second, hopefully with a big fish in the bank. Right, it's 10 minutes past 10 and it's bloody cold, actually really cold. I've not seen one sign of any carp at all. I have been looking. At one point I did get slightly excited. My left-hand side rod bleeped, which does suggest that there could be movement over there. So I was like, come on, please, 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 but nothing at all. Just not too sure what to do. I don't know whether to move down to the deeper end or stay here. I just don't know. Are they going to be down there? Possibly. It's so difficult. This is me thinking now. This is me thinking and just blurting out what's going through my head. I am thinking possibly do I redo my left-hand side rod that bleeped? Did I get a pickup and didn't hook it, and now it's been done and it's got loads of shit around it, like debris? Could it be that? I don't know. It might be worth redoing it to have a look, putting it back out and then giving it an hour maybe and moving. I was kind of like, when I finished the last section, I kind of like remembered back to my first trip here a few weeks ago, and I fished the deeper end. It was really cold down there, and I come up here and it was like a lot warmer with the sun come up, and I was kind of thinking, oh, hopefully the sun's going to come up here and it's going to be warmer than it is going to be down there, which I can't answer right now, but because it's cold up here, but it's totally overcast and it is like -2 or something. So I don't know what to say. Like, my bushwhacker poles, like, there's bits of water on them that like keep like freezing up, just to give you an idea. Yeah, so I just don't know. I don't know how this one's gonna pan out, and I don't know what to do. I might just redo that left hand side rod and see. It's gonna stealth it back out anyway, so it's not as if it's gonna disturb too much. I think I'm gonna be lucky to get a carp today. I really do, but hey ho, that's fishing for you. All right, let me ponder for a little bit longer. So I've just redone the left hand side rod, and the rig itself was knotted. So imagine you was gonna just tie a knot, just a basic knot like that, but not knotted up to as a knot, but it was knotted round, like gone round in itself. So it could have been a fish pick up and drop back down. But then as I was bringing it back in, the bush rush back, I was thinking, well, it could have been a bird. A bird equally could have picked it up, dropped it, possibly. So one of two. I think what we can conclude from it is the bait has been touched by something. And because I didn't see it, I have to definitely sit here longer in this spot, because I do have confidence in that spot there. It's done me a lot of fish, and it could have been a fish. So on that, I'm staying in this swim for longer, definitely to see what happens. What's the time now? 10:26 now. So let's see what happens, because it could have been a fish. You never know. Well, it's 10 minutes past one and I've decided to pack up. I'm cold. I've seen no sign of carp today. It just doesn't feel like it's gonna happen. I'm convinced it was probably bird life, that maybe that was the bleep I had on my rod. I just think it would have been. I just do. Yeah, you can probably tell by my voice, I am gutted. I am definitely gutted. It's really cold. I think this massive drop in temperature all of a sudden, I think it's just switched them off. I don't think there's much I could have done. I know I didn't move around. That obviously was an option, which I will obviously ponder now into my next fishing trip. But hey-ho, it is what it is. So anyway, guys, sorry for the blank. But all the same, hope you enjoyed it. And we shall look forward to our next trip. So anyway, if you go fishing from now until my next podcast, let's hope you put a few on the bank, at least one more than me, which I had none, so that shouldn't be that hard to beat. So anyway, guys, you take care of yourself, and I shall speak to you in my next one, Tight Lines. If you're not done already, guys, you could do me a massive favour and hit me up on Instagram. Just search Quest Fishing Adventures. On there, I'm uploading some photos and some short videos. You can also ask me questions or give me some advice too. That'd be absolutely mega. Anyway, take care of yourself, guys, and tight lines, and see you in my next podcast.